The community that we broadcast to can include serving or ex-service personnel from the Australian Defence Forces, or it could include somebody like the Metropolitan Fire Service or the Country Fire Service or the nursing staff in hospitals, in emergency centres. It's very wide-ranging because if you walk down any street in any city or any town in Australia, you'll always come across somebody who has either served in our military forces or is related to somebody who has served. We've had so many calls and correspondences from people who have had either access to or have had relatives who've been on the show saying what a difference it's made in their life. And one that really strikes me is a woman that rang. She's in her 80s. Her husband served in Korea. We had him on, and his wife rang me and said, for the first time, he's able to relate to his grandchildren, or his grandchildren are able to relate to him, because they listen to his interview and they understand him better now. They'll actually talk to him about his experiences. And I thought that that was lovely.
So tell us a little bit about Service Voices, Helen.
Sure. Service Voices actually emanated out of the Legacy Hour, which went to air about 8 years ago. And the Legacy Hour was a reach out to isolated widows of veterans, women who were stuck at home, didn't get out, etc. However, what was found was that the older women from Legacy were the type that actually didn't change their dials from the ABC. And so it didn't actually reach out to that sector, but what it did do was it became an enormous awareness factor for younger generations of ex-servicemen and women and their families. When Legacy withdrew the funding on that, and rightly so, they had to watch where their pennies were going, we started up Service Voices in order to satisfy that sector of our community that weren't being heard anywhere else in Australia. The team now is myself as producer, Louise Jesser and Fiona White, and you are also a contributor at times, which is fantastic.
Yes, I do my best. Helen, in the face of this pandemic, anybody who's got internet access has been on a pretty steep learning curve, trying to figure out how to stay in touch or work from home. And in community radio and Radio Adelaide, we've all had to do that if we want to keep broadcasting and figure out how to do it from home. And in the face of that, you have achieved an amazing thing, really, which is to get some funding and get some very new technology. Can you tell that story?
What happened was I had a phone call from one of our supporters. It's an ex-service organisation. And they asked if we were continuing to broadcast because a lot of the community broadcasting stations around Australia have ceased live broadcasting and they're picking up what is known as the Community Broadcasting Association's Community Radio Network, which is streamed 24 hours a day around Australia, and they can access it because a lot of these people can't go into their own radio stations. I advised them, no, look, Service Voices is continuing to broadcast. We're creating our broadcasts from home. However, we're looking at a system that will give us access to being able to conduct telephone interviews from home so that we keep up our stock of current interviews. And I said, I'm also looking for a grant to purchase it, Will. Within 10 minutes of that chap hanging up, I had a phone call from their vice president saying, Helen, go out and buy your equipment, we're paying for it. And I was really blown over by that because this chap was in the middle of the Nullarbor Plain when he rang me. Him and his wife were on their way to West Australia. Isn't that fantastic?
So that organisation wanted to support Service Voices, and then an individual from in that organisation said, hey, I've got over $1,000 for this new equipment, and just produced it.
That's right. That's right. And the reason for that is that we are the only media outlet that has really made an effort to publicise the work that their veterans did during World War II. They weren't recognised. They served in World War II. They were as important to the success of the Allies as any Army, Navy or Air Force personnel. And they were bombed, they were killed, And when these people were killed or badly injured, they weren't entitled to any benefits. So if a man was, if his ship was sunk and he was lost, his widow didn't get any benefits from the Department of Veterans Affairs. They got nothing. These men served not only on tankers and large transport ships, but they also served on the small ships in the Pacific. And their duties included transportation of troops, ammunition, equipment, food, supplies into waters that were occupied by the enemy. They had a hard time of it, definitely.
Doesn't that resonate with the current situation, you know, in terms of access to welfare benefits, wage subsidies or supplements to benefits? We're really having to have a serious think about who are the key people and what work really matters. It's very similar.
That's right. People realise now just how important that is. But in World War II, if one of these men was, say, taken prisoner of war, his pay ceased immediately. So he was no longer paid. Or when his ship reached a port, in those days they signed off and then they were given another contract when a new ship came into port that they were assigned to. But in the meantime, they didn't receive any pay. So it was an entirely different situation. They suffered a lot. They weren't recognised with a service medal until 2015, long after many of them had passed away. I am ex-army myself. I am a war widow. And my concern is that my husband wasn't recognised when he got back from Vietnam, and I know how badly it affected him. Because it affected him badly, it also affected me and our son. You know, I think these stories are important. It's not that we need to glorify war at all. It's the fact that these people are entitled to have their stories listened to if they want to tell them.
Very beautifully put. Helen, on a more personal note, I've worked in community radio for a long time, since I was a pretty young woman, and really all that time I've been inspired by seeing women older than myself getting stuck in and learning the technology to be able to become broadcasters. You were one of those women. When you arrived, you jumped in and did the training and really threw yourself right in. And now what you've done is very inspiring, with not only getting the funding to set up pretty much a little studio in your own home and set it up, but to then learn to do that. What is it that gives you that determination? Is it just that you're a Scot?
Maybe that has something to do with it. I think my Scottish ties are more to do with storytelling. I was told by somebody in our clan that every clan has its storyteller, and perhaps that's my link in there. But I'm a great believer that you can learn anything you want to learn if you set your mind to it, and if you have some source of being able to be taught. So are you capable of listening? Yes. Okay, well, the chances are you can learn what it is you want to learn. You should be able to learn most things.
And age and gender is no barrier.
No, I think that once you reach the age of 70 plus, you've learned enough of life to think, if other people are able to learn this piece of equipment, then so should I be able to.
Good on you, Helen. And how are you going in this time of physical distancing, having to stay at home?
Sure. Well, I suppose my attitude to that is, it's here, I have to cope with it, just get on with it. I have a budgerigar, I have some chook, and I have a yard that I can get out into, so I'm luckier than a lot of people. My budgerigar keeps me on my toes, though. His name is Buddy. He is an orphan. He flew into my yard a couple of years ago, and I couldn't find an owner for it, so he's ended up staying and ruling my life. But he likes to have a dance every morning, and he talks greatly. His name's Buddy, but I always call him Chook, and his favourite singer is Chuck Berry. So we dance around the back room every morning to Chuck Berry.
Running to and fro, hard working at the mill, never fail in the mill, yet come a rotten bill. Too much monkey business, too much monkey business.